Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. Somebody say heart. All thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first and a great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Heavenly Father, let your Spirit and your Word go forth to touch our hearts and lives today. Lord, that we don't leave here the same way that we came, but we go in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to tell the world of the good news that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
amen.
Like the title of my message today, Loving God and Loving Each Other. Loving God and loving each other. This passage of Scripture that I just read to you this morning is also found in the book of Mark, chapter 12, and the book of Luke, chapter 10. But it is most prominent and was first recorded by the writer of Deuteronomy, by the voice of Moses as he spoke to the children of Israel, as he gave a complete outline for those who love God and for those who don't. Come on, how many is Pentecost in this place? Okay, so preach with me just a little bit. He gave a complete outline in Deuteronomy for those who love God and for those who don't. And in the New Testament, when Jesus repeated those passages of Scripture, he added, not only are we to love God first, foremost, in everything and in all things, but we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. So I want to title this message, Loving God and Loving Each Other. You cannot love each other until you truly love God. So, how much do we love the Lord? Do we love Him with all of our hearts? Do we love Him with all of our soul? Do we love Him with all of our mind? Through the Scriptures, we will find that loving God and each other is our highest calling. It's our highest calling. Don't expect to get close to God if you can't love those around you. The Bible teaches us that we need to love God. Everything we sung about this morning ought to be enough qualifications that we should love God unconditionally and with everything that is within us. I got to thinking about this message and the direction God was speaking to my heart. We feel like if we've given God 10%, we've done it justly. What if God only loved us 10%? What if He only give us that 10% portion? What are we going to do when we stand before God and we've only given 15 or 20% of our time, of our material blessings that He has given us? Think about all that He has done for us. It's hard for us to grasp as human beings. Beings, it was so long ago, just to read the story of how He died, He was beaten, He was beyond recognition, He was beaten. And we try to grasp the love of Jesus Christ, but it's hard for us as human beings to really get a hold of what Christ done for us. But if we could really get a hold of that, our conversation would be much more than 10% of God. This love that I'm talking about this morning is not just a casual love. But He's asking us, actually He's not just asking us, He's commanding us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the little word that we need to really look at real closely is all. All. It is a big deal. And the Bible teaches us that when He speaks to us from Moses, as Jesus is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, He is telling us it's not a suggestion, it's a command. That we are to love the Lord our God with every being and fiber within us. I was thinking several years ago, in fact, a whole bunch of years ago, when I was 16 years old, I started working in the meat department. And I had the prestigious position in that meat department that after everybody made a total mess of blood and guts everywhere, I got to clean it up. Really illustrious job. But I found out real quickly, if you wasn't committed to the cleaning job, you hear me? If you're not really committed to the cleaning job, if you're not committed to getting dirty, you'll never get it clean. You've got to get down to the nitty gritty. And after everybody left and I was the only one there, it was called hot soapy water and bleach that took care of all of it. And by the time that I got through, you could have ate off of the floor. Not that you would want to, but you could. So that's the kind of message I want to preach to you today. We're going to get down to the nitty gritty. It may get a little dirty here at first. Understand what I'm saying? But when we get through, I want to help you realize that there's nothing in this world more important than your love for God. I said, there is nothing in this world more important than your love for God. He does not deserve only 10%. He deserves all of you. Every facet of our life, everything that we do should glorify God. We need to talk about God more than we talk about our hobbies. I told you it might get a little dirty before it gets good and clean. So how do we fulfill the commandments of the Lord? To love Him with every fiber. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Every fiber within us. You know why there's so many divorces in the world today? I'm not throwing punches, okay? It's a cold, hard fact that I hate. And I know some of you have struggled with it. Some of you may be struggling with it even right now. But I'm telling you the reason why is because we fall out of love. The reason that our relationship with Jesus Christ wanes is because we've fallen out of love. How do we fulfill that commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're to love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind? To do this, we must first understand what it really means. What does it really mean to love God? And you know what? Also understand that the kind of love that God has for us, and for us to reciprocate that love, we've got to have His help. Hello? Well, you've heard this before, but I'm going to say it again as an example here. There's some people that you just naturally love, right? You just naturally love. And there's other people you have to work on it. Hello? Our human nature needs the Holy Spirit to help us love God like we need to love God. You can't do it on your own. You're not capable of doing it on your own. We have to have the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to prove that as we go along. To know what it means to love the Lord our God with everything that is within us, with all our heart, our soul, or mind, one translation or one verse of the scripture, I think it's in Mark, that uses the word strength, and I'll get into that in a minute. We need to start from the origin of love. I'm not going to go into agape and phileo and those. I'm not going to go there this morning, but there is an origin of love that tells us of those things and the different levels and depth of God's love. The first time, as I mentioned a while ago, the first time that we found this passage of scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. He said, "Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your your soul with all your strength. And when Jesus was asked by the religious leaders, as he quoted this passage of Scripture, which is the most important, one of the teachers in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Hang with me, okay? Stay with me. The most important one, Jesus answered, is hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one Lord. Love Him with every fiber within your being, your heart, your soul, your mind, or your strength, everything that's within you. Matthew 22 and 36 says, Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How many's got some neighbors that you can't stand to love? Chris and Tammy's got some just down the street that you struggle with. No, I'm just kidding. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, you guys lighten up. Wake up a little bit, okay? On these two commandments, listen. This is vitally important, and we're going to find out why here shortly. Vitally important. He said these two commandments hinge and hang on all of the law and the prophets. If you don't have the proper love for God, you're not going to follow His commandments. Hello? The reason that we deviate from the law, the commandments of God, is because we don't have the love that we ought to. I told you it's going to kind of get a little dirty. But we're going to get it cleaned up. I said, the reason we don't follow all the commandments, the reason that we struggle with sin, the reason that we struggle with temptation and we debate it is because we don't have the right love for God. There's something in the love within our heart, within our mind, within our strength, and within our soul that we have not released completely to God. Jesus, again, I mentioned he's echoing the words of Moses. Now, if we find it written by Moses in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and if we find it written in Matthew and Mark and Luke, then probably it's pretty important. Wouldn't you say? Y'all are awful quiet. You listen to me? Okay? It's very important that he not only said to love him, but to love your neighbor as yourself. One of them was a real Weisenheimer, and he said, well, who's my neighbor anyhow? You ever met a Weisenheimer? They just wanted to argue about the facts of things. And he asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Every bit of this hinges and relies on these two commandments, the laws and the prophets. Loving God, loving each other is our highest calling. 1 John chapter 4, verses 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Yes. I mean, that's right to the point, isn't it? For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Wow. So, breaking this all down, my next question is, what is all this heart stuff anyway? We have so many variations of the heart. But can I tell you, and I've heard Chris say it on Wednesday nights in his lessons, everything we do is a heart issue. Did you hear me? Look at your neighbor and say, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. As we look at the word heart in both Hebrew and Greek, we find the context of that the heart is the middle or the center of all your being. Everything that you do, everything that you think about, everything you do or don't do is a heart issue. It's the sinner. The Greek and the Hebrew says it's the sinner. That which comes from within you. It's your thoughts. It's your feelings. It's your inclinations. It's your understanding. Did you get that? I'm going to, again, validate that. In the scriptures where it says, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. One part of the scripture says with your strength. Did you know, as far as scholars can tell, back in Jewish Israel time, they did not even have the word for mind. It was out of the abundance of the hearts. Hello? I don't know about you, but I'm just loving this. This message today, because it's spoken to my heart. I got to do it, read it over two or three times before I brought it to you. And I absolutely come to conviction that, God, I'm not giving you enough of me. I'm slack. I want to give you more, and it's up to me to do that. Our heart is our thoughts, our feelings, our inclinations, our understanding. The Old Testament, we're instructed on how to take care of things called our heart. Why? Above all else, he tells us in Proverbs 4 and 23. Are you listening? Are you listening, church? Above all else, we are to guard our heart, because from it, everything you do flows from your heart. Matthew chapter 12 and 34 and Luke 6 and 45 says Jesus was elaborate on everything when he talked about it flows from it, from your heart, both. Each a little different from Matthew and Luke, but it both tells us that a heart that overflows results in the speaking. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we speak, you ready for this? What we speak cascades from the exposure of the heart. Hello? Do you want me to tell you about my story from Walmart the other day? My wife don't, and I'm ashamed to. Hey, I'm just being honest. And I had to get a right heart condition, Brother Aaron. If you haven't went to Walmart lately and got upset, please come and see me after church. I want to see what it's like. And if you want me to tell you my story, I will. Listen, are you ready? When you love God with all your heart, what you say and even your behavior will be evidence of that love. Hey, somebody needs to write that down. That's good stuff. Do you hear me? When you love God with all your heart, what you say and your behavior will be evidence of that love. I was ashamed of my behavior the other day and had to repent. Don't look at me so righteous like that. I'll give you your opportunity to come up here and tell your testimony. I'll backtrack just a minute to get to my next point. You're gonna love my next point. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to love it. We're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with everything that's within us. What have we sung about today? Worshiping, praising God, honoring Him, giving Him our all. How many of our, some of you have already forgot about what we've sung about, and you're thinking about what you got to do when this long-winded preacher shuts up so you can go home and do it. Ain't you? I didn't expect you to raise your hands. But He tells us in Psalms chapter 100, verses 4 and 5, Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. And give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endureth forever, and His faithfulness continues through all generations. You know how come Brother Chris, Sister Karen, the praise team has to push and prime so much? It's because we don't come into His house with thanksgiving. We don't come into His courts with praise. Our mind is so bombarded with what we've already done the weekend. No wonder God has trouble finding His way into our service, into our presence. I said, no wonder. Are you listening to me, church? No wonder. God has trouble finding His way into our service and our presence. When He tells us to come into His house with Him in our hearts and a praise on our lips, we're still playing the ball games over and over on Sunday morning that should have been left on the ball field Saturday afternoon. I told you it's going to get messy. We're still playing games from yesterday. We don't come into His house worshiping and saying how good God is. We're trying to figure out why the hogs messed up so bad yesterday. You think God's pleased with that? God convicted me, and God convicted me. This is God's day. That was yesterday. If you got to talk to somebody about it, get their phone number, email them, text them or something, but this is God's day. Well, that sounded rough, didn't it? I'm about ready to take off my bloody apron, put it in the bin, and we're going to have church. That was just, today is God's day. Can we not give Him our undivided attention at least one day of the week? Are we showing Him and everyone else just how much of our heart belongs to God? So I ask you a question today. Hey, I'm not ashamed of what I'm preaching this morning. I want you to get to heaven. I want you to fall in love with Jesus like you never have in your entire life. I want you to get so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. If there's any time in our life we needed someone to get so heavenly minded they're no earthly good, we need it now. So what percentage of your heart is God's? What percentage of your heart is God's? Is that a little rough? So let's talk about the soul. But your heart is the center of all things. When we look at the word soul, S-O-U-L, in the Hebrew and the Greek, we find a little bit of variation. Yet we can arrive at the same place. In the Greek, it simply means breath and spirit. But in the Hebrew, it goes even deeper. Soul, or the breath, is more than just an abstract word for life. It's the individual. It's the person, the self, the creature that God made, as well as the mind, the soul and the mind. It speaks deep into your thoughts and the deliberate choices that you make. It's your soul, man. Your soul incorporates all of who you are. In Luke 21:19, Jesus said, it is your patience to possess you your soul. In your patience possess you your soul. It was found in the book of Genesis that Jesus took from the dirt and made an image, and He breathed in the nostrils the breath of life, and they became a living soul. It's His breath. He breathed within us. It's who we are. It's what we are. And we're to love Him with our heart and our soul. It's who we are. How do we define that? How do we distribute that? How do we give God all of that? Well, you know, I don't want to. You know, I don't want to get to where people can't relate to me. Really? I go to the restaurants and the grocery stores, and there's people that have pink, orange, and green hair, and I can't relate to them at all. Some of you is finishing my sentence on that, so I'll go on. It's taking ownership Hello? It's taking ownership of the soul that God, He Himself, has given you, breathed in your nostrils a breath of life, and He directs all of you toward Him. We were made in His image and in His likeness. We are to love Him with all of our heart and all of our soul. So it brings us to the third thing. He says to love Him with all of our mind. Again, I mentioned to you a while ago, as far as Bible scholars can tell, the Jewish people didn't even have a word for the mind in those days. It was the heart. Hebrew account of the command doesn't use the word mind. It falls under the soul as previously addressed. Part of the Greek definition is included in the soul as well. However, the original command uses the word strength, as it is found in the Gospel of Mark. The difference aren't to confuse, but to elaborate the depth of the meaning. We're to love God with everything that's within us. I read about a guy that went to see his doctor the other day, and I don't know, some of you may have recognized this already, but the first thing the doctor asked the patient, that if any of his family suffered from mental illness. And his response as he looked at the doctor said, "No, we seem to enjoy it." One of the definitions of mind in the Greek is called the faculties. Have you ever had anybody to look at you and say, "You need to get your faculties together"? No? Well, I have. Just got to get it together. Somebody's told you that, and you just need to get it together. Faculties. Just get your life together. And that's what the Hebrew describes as mind, or the strength as your faculties, meaning the inherited mental and physical power of your being. You have a choice to make. When you're tempted, you have a choice whether to yield to that temptation or to turn and run the other way, as Joseph did. The meaning of strength in the Greek means to have the power, the might, the force, and the ability to resist sin and to love God with all your heart. It aligns with the Hebrew word strength, which means might and force. The Hebrew word for strength then takes a layer deeper, meaning the abundance, exceedingly much, your faculty, everything about you. And one term put it, muchness. You ever heard of the word muchness? Sounds like something I invented, doesn't it? Those words are often applied to the character of God. To love God with all your mind or your strength. Are you ready for this? Better get your pens out. You need to grasp this. To love God with all your mind, all your strength, means that we are to love Him as much as He loves us. Hello? Is that feasibly possible for us to love God as much as He loves us? Not within our own strength, it's not. So how do we do this? All of what we've just went across and discovered sounds a bit overwhelming. And according to the Scriptures, we're not able to do that on our own. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and 26, He said, "What is impossible, what may seem impossible with man, is not impossible with God." All things are possible with God. The first thing we need to fulfill this commandment is to make the Lord God our personal God. He's my personal God. Don't talk about Him. Don't use His name in vain. We're commanded to love the Lord our God. Once we do this, we receive power. Listen, I need to say that again. To love God like He loves us, to reciprocate that completely like He loves us, we've got to have His help. and being commanded to love the Lord our God, when we do that, we receive the power. But it's a choice. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Listen to the words of what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. Out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Anybody with me? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp his width, his length, his height, and his depth of the love of Christ. Oh, come on, somebody. That shouts an amen right there. And to know this love that surpasses all of our understanding and knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Does that sound like we need God's help or not? Does it sound like we've got God's help? Receiving that impartation of knowing God's love is critical to you being able to love God. You cannot give what you do not have. Hello? Said you cannot give what you do not have. His love within you is a source to love him back. We love him because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19. What I was trying to tell you at the beginning of the message, what we've sung about, what we exalted the name of Jesus, that and that alone, we need to love him 100%. But our man, our physical being, our finite individual, the flesh gets in the way and gets all messed up. And we have to put the flesh in the grave and say, he is my Savior, and I am his child. When you find yourself falling short of the love of God, when you find yourself falling short of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Have we lost our focus? Have we gotten too busy? Have I become selfish and doing my own thing? Or have I just fallen out of love with him? What kind of inventory do I need to take? Do I need to sit down and write him a letter? Do I need to reevaluate some things in my life? So with that, somebody please ask me, what are the benefits of loving God like this? Nobody going to ask me? But I'll just tell you anyway. True to the character of the Lord our God, that he not only empowers us to do what he commands, he rewards us when we do so. You need to get your pencil out, take some scriptures down, study it this week. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 9 through 10. Understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is faithful God who keeps his covenant with 1,000 generations and lavishes unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commandments. Did you hear that? He has a covenant that he keeps 1,000 generations, and his lavish unfailing love, he gives it to those who loves him and obeys his commandments. Romans chapter 8, verses 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, but as it is written, what no eye have seen, nor ear has heard, nor entered the heart of man their imagination, what God has prepared for those who love him. Sounds like a rewarding job. James chapter 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Hello. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive a crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Have I made my point? Listen, James chapter 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him? When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you'll be blessed abundantly, exceedingly much. I don't know about you, but as I, again, have went over this message two or three times before I give it to you, and I couldn't help but think, when I stand before God, how am I going to feel? He already knows anyway, but I have to tell Him, Lord, I've only given You 65% of my heart. I've only given You 35%. Is that going to be good enough that I can go in since You said all? His Word says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, to Him be the glory in the church of Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. A lot of people in our world today, and it seems really strange to me that the closer the Lord's coming is, it seems like the farther away we want to get, or the more diluted we want to share our love, the more watered down we want to follow His commandments. We pick and choose this one and that one. And I think maybe it says it the best, if I could close with this statement. If y'all, Chris, if you came in, want to come to the piano. And listen to this. Don't watch them. They'll play for us and get our hearts prepared. This is called $3 worth. It's a little bit of provocative statement written by an unknown source. Which is like a burr under the saddle of life. Anybody ever been on a horse that got a burr under their saddle? Not pleasant for the horse nor the rider. Life's sometimes like that. Would you not say? So the rider put it like this. He said, so I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. I would like just a little, not enough to exploit my soul or disturb my sleep, not enough to take control of my life. I like just enough to be like a cup of warm milk, or just enough to ease some of the pain of my guilt. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. I don't want enough of Him to make me love my neighbor or help those who live across the tracks. I'm too busy to be inconvenienced. I just want ecstasy, not transformation. I just want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. Not enough to impose responsibility. Just enough to make church folks think I'm okay. Just a pound of eternal in a paper sack. I just want $3 worth of God, please. Seems that some folks really are willing and want to serve God, but only as His consultant. But I ask us today, including myself, are we willing to take sincerely an inventory of our heart, our soul, and our mind? See just how much, what percentage of ourselves really belongs to God. He's done so much for us. We've worked till blood drips out of our fingers to to obtain whatever we can obtain in life. And Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. We kill ourselves just to make a dollar. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also. And he gives us a vivid description in the book of Revelation. The streets are pure gold. There's a river of life that runs by. He's building a mansion for you, and he even gives us the dimensions. There's 12 manners of fruit trees that grow, and in their season they produce that fruit. And we're satisfied, and we're bound by this temporary position of life that we have. And we give it 90% and we only give God 10. It seems pretty unfair to me. After all he's done, it seems pretty unfair that he only gets the leftovers. So I ask you today, are we ready to rend our hearts? Say, God, they're totally open to you. All I offer is everything that I've got. Church, I don't want to stand before him and only have given him 25%. Because he said, love me with all your hearts. With all your soul. With all your strength. As they play softly, how many will slip out of your seat or kneel at your seat, and if you can't kneel, maybe come to the front. How many be quick to come around this altar? Say, God, I'm ready to take inventory right now.